1:30, thanks for your company this afternoon. We do love this on a Monday. We talk about our state. We get to learn different things about the great state of South Australia. Today we're talking about the growth state. And my guest today is David Ridgway, the State Minister for Trade, Tourism and Investment. Thank you for coming in, Minister.
Pleasure, Lee.
Great to see you. Just before we start, I never know, are we allowed to call you David? I hear this on the radio all the time.
We're calling people ministers. Anything you like. I don't mind. All of the good, hard-working public servants all call me Minister, but Lee, you can call me David, you can call whatever you like.
See, this is what happens when you fill in, see? You get a little bit looser than the others. Because I hear breakfast, it's always minister this, minister that, and I think, I wonder if you guys have ever been asked, and you're like, nah, just call me David.
Yeah, I'm happy with
that. But I'll be respectful and call you the minister. Let's talk about the growth state. What is the government's growth state plan?
Well, the growth state plan, if you look back over the last probably 15 to 20 years, we've only grown at about half the national average. And in fact, our growth sometimes has been less than 1%. So the Premier and government, after when we came to government, said we need to have a strong plan to look to grow the state. So we've set an ambitious target of to grow the GSP, the gross state product, by 3% a year, which is ambitious. We don't shy away from that.
Yep.
But we need to grow at about that rate to have a strong enough economy to provide all the services the community want in the years going forward.
Are you growing right across the sector? Are there some parts that are going better than some parts need to lift?
Oh, clearly some. Traditionally, I mean, we've had our sort of food and wine agribusiness, that sort of has been a great sector. We've identified, we did a thing after the election, we commissioned Stephen Joyce, who was the former Minister of Economic Development in New Zealand, to have a look at our sort of outward-facing agencies, our economic agencies. And with his help, we've identified 9 key sectors, and they include things like tourism, international education, agribusiness, food, wine, defence, space, yep, high-tech, creative, you know, they're the sort of things that we've identified 9 of them and said they're the ones we're going to focus on. Clearly some are, if you like, traditional ones, such as mining and energy and agriculture, and some of the new ones around high-tech and space and defence. So there's a mix of all of them, and they're the ones we're going to invest in over the next few years to try and get that 3% growth.
Do you think the general population know that? We all know that we're a wine state. We all know that we've got tourism covered. We're flying in those areas. We don't hear much about space, but clearly in the last months or years we have, and I know Lot 14, which we'll get to, but this is a real chance for Adelaide to embrace these new technologies.
Oh, absolutely. It's great for our kids at school and young kids to have an aspiration to work in the space sector. We've now got the National Space Agency based here, which we're very grateful for the federal government to give us that opportunity.
Yep.
But the real opportunities will come as we see small satellite manufacturers starting to make satellites here, and I think we'll see the small low Earth orbit satellites, the polar ones, which will give us all the data we need for better mobile phone coverage, more security, bushfires, floods, ag tech for our farmers. They're the ones, the emerging technology, that'll be really exciting. That's something I think that people haven't really understood yet, and probably even government doesn't understand it yet, but it will be will be something we will really embrace.
Does that blow your mind that we're going about our normal day and there are people here in Adelaide making satellites?
Oh, in one sense it does. In other things, it's just really cool that we actually, often we undersell ourselves in South Australia, that we other parts of the world are better or bigger. Yeah. Well, we do some really cool stuff here, and we should be really proud of it. And manufacturing satellites is happening already and will continue to happen.
International education, very strong as we know. We're a real international student city as well. Do you talk to your counterparts interstate and internationally? Do they have a thought on what Adelaide is? Are you trying, these 9 things you're talking about, would you like more of those to become part of that conversation? Oh, South Australia, they're great for wine and food, for example.
I think it is. I mean, what we are in an international education sense, it is about the education. So it's about making sure that the students that come here get a really quality education. But what they love now is the fact that Adelaide's such an easy city to get around. It's still, in city terms, relatively small. So it's walkable. You can ride your push bike. And so our numbers are growing from, they were about 35,000 at the election. We're well into the 40,000s each year now. Our plan for 2030 is to have it at 70,000 students a year.
Wow.
That's great for us because those kids and students go back to their communities. Some will stay here, some will go back to their countries, build stronger relationships. But it also is a big economic driver. Every 4 students creates 1 job. So it's probably, if we get to 70,000, it'll be worth about $3 billion a year to our state's economy. So it's part of that growth agenda that we want. We know that that's a good thing to do because it enriches our community, but it provides all this other economic benefit while the students are here.
You only need to look around and see the cranes around town to see how much accommodation construction and housing is coming up.
Oh, absolutely. I think the other day I counted 15 cranes, which, and all of them funded by the private sector, which is what you want. I mean, every now and again, the government needs to build things as well, but this is all of them funded by the private sector, some of them student accommodation, some of them hotels. So it's an exciting time.
State Minister for Trade, Tourism and Investment, David Ridgway, is my guest as we talk about our state and the growth state. Before we talk about the calendar, are these nine areas that you're looking to build on and these growth areas, are you finding businesses from around Australia or around the world are wanting to come into Adelaide and use South Australia as their base as well?
Yeah, more and more. We've got a couple of initiatives. One thing called a landing pad. So our people in our trade offices, and I'll come to the trade offices in a minute, but we identify businesses that might fit our economy, and then we go and pitch to them to come. And we've got a landing pad, both a defence landing pad and a non-defence landing pad, which is about $80,000 for a company to come. Gives them a little bit of rental support, a little bit of technical support, just to get them established. It's only for 1 year, and then they can actually move on into the sort of mainstream economy at that point.
What do you think the businesses are? Why do you think they're choosing us as opposed to other states?
Oh, I think a number of reasons. I think firstly, there's some great opportunities in the space, in some of the sectors that are emerging now as we're unique. I think there's some, and it's clearly around defence with the big investment, sort of 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 billion, depends on how you sort of slice it up over the next 50 or 60 years. There's some massive opportunities in the defence sector. So we see businesses starting to come because of those opportunities. It's also pretty well connected now, Adelaide. Like, we're well serviced flights interstate, 48 international flights a week. Pops up at over 50 during the Chinese New Year period. Yep. And so you're actually well connected. And then the price of renting office accommodation or commercial or factories is actually cheaper here than interstate. And in little things like cost of houses, if you want to buy a house and live here permanently, it's cheaper than Melbourne and Sydney and Brisbane. So there are some just natural advantages that we have. And the fact we're quite well connected, we have really high-speed internet, it's quite an easy place to do business.
Don't want to take too much of a tangent. Can you speak to Qantas? Why is Qantas the only one that won't go ex-Adelaide? All these other great airlines you just mentioned that are coming in and out of Adelaide, why can't our national carrier do it?
Well, they did for a while, and then, of course, they've been a code-share arrangement now with Emirates and others, and so they don't. But we're constantly talking to Qantas to make sure we get good service out of...
Because you must be pumped with what the airport's doing, and the amount of people that are coming in and out, international travellers, domestic travellers, the airport itself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they're doing that, the gateway.
They're doing the international expansion or the international terminal. I think it was $168 million they planned to spend, and I heard, this is unofficially, but it's gone well over $200 million because they've seen the opportunities to, it's not a blowout, it's actually it's a bigger scope work that they're doing to actually, sort of cater for international travellers and for a bigger group. So once that's done, we've said it very clearly, we're going to try and pitch for more international carriers. So we'll work with the airport to do that once they finish their expansion.
That would be great.
It wins awards every year, the best airport in Australia. So we're very proud of that one.
Well, Phil Hoffman comes in every Tuesday here and he says he's the one who's speaking to people around the world and they would tell him if it was no good.
I've got good friends who say it's the easiest airport to get in and out of. You should be very proud of it. And of course, it's once you get here, you've got great place to do business, and there's 200+ cellar doors within an hour's drive of the airport. So if you want to come for just some recreation, there's some great stuff to do as well.
You've just announced the business missions calendar. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, the business missions calendar, that was something of the Stephen Joyce review, said that we should publish an annual business missions calendar to give companies that are either going overseas or we've got inbound missions time to prepare for it. The former government had quite large missions where they might take 100 to 200 businesses. They had to pay, of course. They didn't get sort of given to them. And almost like a sort of travelling... I don't think the right word, a bit of a travelling, almost like circus.
Like a roadshow.
Like a roadshow, that's a good word for it. So roadshow, it's very hard to get any one-on-one real focus. So what we've done is said, let's have, I think there's about 40-odd missions on the calendar, mostly outbound, some inbound, but much more targeted and bespoke. So if you've got a product you want to export, and I mentioned earlier, we're opening 5 new trade offices. We've opened one in Shanghai and Tokyo. We're soon to do Houston and Dubai, and then one in Kuala Lumpur. If you're an exporter and you've got a product that you think, or we've done the work with you, the department's done with, that you think fits into the Tokyo market, well, you don't have to wait for a trade mission. You can get up there and talk to Sally Townsend in the office, and she's got a number of trade missions this year that feed into food and wine and international education. She just had one around, I think it was a gymposium for all our spirit producers. So we're making sure there are smaller targeted opportunities where we can have a bit more one-on-one with our producers trying to export. And similarly with the inbound missions, to make sure when we bring people in that we actually take them to the producers or suppliers of the products they're after, so they can have a bit more of a one-on-one opportunity. Because let's face it, on a good day, South Australia sells itself, so we need to bring more people here.
I haven't been a lot through Asia, but I was lucky enough, I went to the first Port Adelaide match in Shanghai. Yep. I was staggered to see how much South Australia is in Shanghai, where, for example, we had dinner at a restaurant called M on the Bund that looked over to the new Shanghai. There were Murray Bridge steaks on the menu, and the people we were eating with were drinking South Australian wine. I don't think a lot of people realise just how much South Australia has gone and got their tentacles out into this global...
Absolutely, and we are the premium producer. I mean, we produce 80% of the nation's premium wine and our food. Not to detract too much from interstate colleagues, Australia has world-class food and South Australia is as good as any other state. Yep. So you know, our meat, our seafood, our fruit and veggies, everything is as good as you can get anywhere in the world, and people recognise that, so more and more people are buying it. So it's just an opportunity now for more producers to try and export more, or existing producers expand into new markets.
Is that a difficult balance for you, making sure we've got enough here, but obviously getting it out into the general population of the Asias and the Singapores? And
well, it's not really a difficult balance, because it's easy to sell in the local shop down the street or the local market. You know, you first sort of, you sell to your, in the old-fashioned days, you sell to the neighbourhood next town, and then you sell to the next state, and then or the next country. So it's not a problem at all. We've got the capacity to produce quite a lot more high-quality food and wine, and we'll encourage our producers to do that, and we will try and help them market it.
We'll take a short break. We're talking about our state and the growth state. The Minister is here, State Minister for Trade, Tourism and Investment, David Ridgway. Right after this, we'll continue to talk more about how great South Australia is going when it comes to trade, tourism and investment.
Get up to speed with all things sports every weekday morning with Tom Wren's Sports Wrap. Get moving from 5:30 as Tom takes you around the grounds and brings you the absolute latest news and developments. The Sports Wrap with Tom Wren. Thanks to Greyhound Racing SA. Only at the Dogs. Weekday mornings from 5:30 on 1395. Adelaide's 5AA.
Hello, Frank Walker from National Tiles. This summer, do not order external pavers from anywhere before you visit nationaltiles.com.au. I repeat, do not order external pavers from anywhere before you visit nationaltiles.com.au. I personally guarantee you will not, absolutely not, buy porcelain or natural stone pavers better anywhere than at nationaltiles.com.au.
At the Salvation Army, we know that in times of heartbreak and tragedy, Christmas is tough, especially on children. Whatever the need, we want to be there to help. For $29, you can put food on the table or a gift under the tree. You can give hope where it's needed most. Please donate now at salvos.org.au.
Well, the Biurban showroom is amazing. You will love it. The design is incredible. The displays are next level. If you are looking to upgrade your kitchen or your bathroom, maybe a project for next year, now's the time to start discussing your plans. You just got to get into the Biurban showroom and get the ball rolling. It's a great experience. You'll be sitting back in the showroom surrounded by inspiration. You'll watch your ideas come to life. And you've heard it said many times, Biurban don't build bathrooms and kitchens. It's true. They create statement pieces, works of art, if you will. Get in there before Christmas. Let them create your imagination. You can drop into the new showroom, Glen Osmond Road, just opposite Porsche, or check out the gallery at biurban.com.au.
Did you know the skin is the body's largest organ? So love the skin you're in with Healthy Care Grapeseed Extract from Chemist Warehouse. Grapeseed Extract may help to reduce free radical cell damage and could also assist in maintaining blood circulation, important for healthy skin. Buy Healthy Care Grapeseed Extract 12,300 capsules for just $25.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The advertiser is going to give you the chance to win $5,000 worth of tickets in the St John's Christmas Home Lottery, the big one. Find your entry form inside the paper from December 9 to 13. Each day is a new chance to win. Visit advertiser.com.au/the big one. Conditions apply.
Picked for Christmas by Woolworths. Everyone's party favourite, Cadbury Favourites 570 grams. Now just $10. Save $10. That's half price. So pick some up for Christmas at Woolworths today.
These days, we all spend a huge amount of time browsing, shopping and sharing our personal information online. That's why you need the protection of new Norton 360. So before you shop, share or post online, go to au.norton.com.
ACH Group have lots of wonderful options for those who want to live independently, like their home care packages. I'm chatting with ACH Group customer Bernice. It must mean a lot to you and to your family that at 95 you can remain in your own home.
It does, because my son and his wife live in Sydney and they feel that I am being looked after really, really well. Their minds are set at rest.
To find out more about ACH Group home care packages, go to achgroup.org.au.
Macular degeneration is Australia's leading cause of blindness. If you're over 50, have an eye test and macular check. Early detection is vital. You can have the very early signs without even knowing. Information, guidance and support is only a phone call away. Call the Macular Disease Foundation on 1800 111 709 for a free macular degeneration information kit.
Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Caravan Repairs. Easy insurance repairs, fast. This is Leith Forest.
14 minutes to 2. The Minister is here for Trade, Tourism and Investment. David Ridgeways. We talk about our state, SA, the growth state. This will help you. Elton John getting more acts like this in there. What does that do for tourism? When all of a sudden you see interstate people coming in. We saw it with the Adelaide Test. We saw it with U2. I mean, you must love these big events that come around.
Oh, absolutely. And they're all part of the visitor economy. That, you know, people, private sector put them on. It brings people in. I mean, that's what we do well in Adelaide. The Test cricket was fantastic. Way better than the Gabba, and you know, finished a bit short. And the weather, we'd have to say, is a bit fresh and a bit damp. But we've still got a pretty good crowd.
Don't want to put you on the spot. You can't. We cannot not have the Test next year against India.
I'm very confident we'll have the Test. I hand-delivered a letter to the Chief Executive of Cricket Australia on the day one of the Test, and I said, here's my pitch. He didn't look that distressed, so I figured that things will be okay. But, you know, the difficulty is there's five or six cities that want a Test, and there's only four next year with India. Last year, of course, last time they were too chicken to play with in the Twilight Test. They were a bit worried about Virat Kohli, a bit worried about his averages. But there's a big Indian diaspora here, like the Indian community.
Yep.
And if you look at Adelaide Oval, it is the best in Australia. It's picturesque. The players like it. So I cannot see any reason why we wouldn't have a Test here.
I spoke to Robert Craddock. He said it's now the Test of the summer. You know, yes, MCG has the history behind it with Boxing Day, but it's almost the first one you should pencil in. Where does Adelaide want it? Because you're going to get huge crowds.
Yeah, all international cricketers love it. I mean, they always have, you know, even since Bradman's time. And, you know, the redevelopment means now we can get 50,000 people there. So it's good.
Can we talk about infrastructure? Because we now see a roof on the Memorial Drive, and now we have a very fancy tennis tournament with the world's number one player in Ash Barty coming along, and Novak Djokovic coming along, Venus Williams is coming along. So are you doing more on infrastructure to get more tourism and more trade through the doors?
Well, that was certainly something we wanted. We were very keen to invest. You know, it was $10 million to put the roof on, and we're now investing in the event over the next 5 to 10 years, and that brings these world-class players. I think it's a good example of why we wanted to do it. Thankfully, the tennis world has sort of responded by, you know, Ash Barty, Djokovic and others coming, because they recognise a perfect warm-up for Melbourne. I mean, it's the same climate, same temperature. It's going to be hot here, it's hot there. So it's great for us. Other infrastructure, the sort of things we're doing, Granite Island, the causeway to Granite Island, it's sort of suspects that we're going to invest in that. One that's an interesting one that benefits regional South Australia is the Port Wakefield, sort of the bypass into the and the road into sort of an overpass to York Peninsula. So that benefits the farmers and all of our business people over there, but also means it opens up York Peninsula to a bit more smoother flow of traffic. So those sort of investments in infrastructure.
Because that's a bit of a safety issue, too.
Yeah, it's safety and time, and it's a pain in the neck. You know, when you're trying to get on a holiday or get home, you don't want to be stuck in a sort of traffic jam. So this will help sort of all of that. Monarto. We've investing into the money into the Monarto Zoo, because that's going to be a world-class sort of open plain zoo. It's It's just on the doorstep of Adelaide. It's fabulous, the work they're doing out there, so we're very keen to invest there.
Well, that area as a whole now, when you include the Bend too, I was on the Variety Club Bash. We went, I couldn't believe the size of the Bend and what's going on out there.
Oh, yeah, Tail and Bend is going, you know, that whole in Monarto, Tail and Bend.
Yep.
I mean, the Monarto project's about a $40 million project. We've partnered with the federal government to cough up about 15.8. What they've done out at the Bend, you know, that is a world-class motorsport facility. We should be very proud of what they've done out there. Almost every day of the week there's something happening, certainly every weekend, and it's great to see the events. They've got the Asian Le Mans coming there on the 10th or 12th of January this year, which is fabulous.
Can I talk to you about Lot 14? There's a little bit of controversy with the trees. I don't think that's your issue. I think that's the City Council, so I won't crack you on that. But the Lot 14, what are we going to see there? How will that be a benefit to our state?
Well, obviously it's a sort of bit of a demolition site at the moment. We're doing some sort of adaptive reuse on the heritage buildings, and we've got quite a number of people in there. It's the sort of government and the Premier's vision that be a start-up and incubator hub. So we've got stone and chalk. We hope to have about 650 start-up desks in that site in the long term. It's also home to the National Space Agency, and I think it's in the next couple of weeks they go in and be sort of formally take up residence, and that will grow. It's a relatively small footprint to start with, but it will grow. And we'll see I expect some significant building taking place there over the next few years. We've got some sort of office buildings and the School of Tourism and Hospitality, and so that'll be quite good. And then, of course, it's very early stage, but the sort of Aboriginal art gallery centre that's the Premier and his team are working on at the moment. So over time, we'll see that as a pretty cool part of Adelaide. Thousands of people working there, and it would be something I think we'll all be very proud of.
Do you think that's the most exciting spot in the city at the moment? What will happen out of that area?
I think what will happen out of it, I mean, Adelaide's an exciting place everywhere, but there's some really good stuff going to happen there. And, you know, technically, we've got the Adelaide University have the Australian Institute of Machine Learning there.
Yep.
And so, you know, some people, their eyes glaze over when you talk about machine learning and artificial intelligence, but it's around us all the time. And, you know, all of that will add to our quality of life across a whole range of of disciplines. And so whether it's health or recreation or leisure, there'll be all of the technology that comes out of there will help that, as well as support a lot of development in the defence and space industry.
Fascinating to see that area, because now you go down North Terrace, if you swing, you know, right off West Terrace, it's unrecognisable now with the SAMRI and what the university's doing. People that have been away from Adelaide for 10 years or 20 years would not recognise North Terrace. I assume that part of North Terrace, Lot 14, is going to be similar over time.
Over time it will be, and because, you know, at the other end we have got the biggest biomedical research precinct in the Southern Hemisphere, and I expect we'll have the biggest sort of start-up incubator sort of cluster in the Southern Hemisphere. Melbourne and Sydney and Brisbane have got a bit of a head start, but this is a 7-hectare site almost right in the middle of the city, so it's a unique opportunity. There'll be a better interface with the Botanic Gardens, and hopefully we flow right through then from, you know, the National Wine Centre right the way through back into the...
What does success look like for you 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now?
Well, certainly from the 5 to 10 year sort of time frame for me, we've released the 2030 plan for tourism and international education. All the other sectors will be released. We're also looking at around the 2030 period, so that is to be... to grow our economy, to have achieved our 3% growth and to sustain that. That's, from a tourism point of view and an international education point of view, the two that I've had the most to do with. So for me, it is to have achieved and sustained the 3% growth. That's what we're aiming to do. That would deliver a whole range of other benefits to South Australia: population growth, economic activity, wealth for South Australians. So it is really about achieving, that growth. To 10 to 20 years, that's a fairly large time frame, but, you know, I guess a continuation of that. But, you know, if you think of technology, what's changed in the last 20 years, even things that we all use like mobile phones, having the National Space Agency and manufacturing satellites, you know, there's huge opportunities in the 10 to 20 year time frame. If we get it right, get the right investment here, there'll be some really cool things happening in Adelaide and South Australia that don't even exist today that will happen here.
Well, there's no reason to suggest that Adelaide won't become like a San Francisco. There's a certain vibe about San Fran with all the business and exciting sort of new ventures that are going on there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, I've met with a South Australian company in San Francisco, was at the Austrade landing pad. They actually have their back office here because it's cheaper, and all their system engineers and their software engineers are based here in South Australia because they have a better quality of life, cheaper to live, and they can support their business in San Francisco. So,
well, exciting times ahead then with the growth state. Can I hit you with one hard one before we go? And I gave this to Ataf Rashid 2 weeks ago. You're the tourism minister. You're the trade minister. You're the man when it comes to investment. We're in an Instagram world, minister, where people want to take photos. Let's have something big in Adelaide. Can you arrange that for us? Something that we can take a photo with, some big structure, like not necessarily the Eiffel Tower, but, you know, you go to a great city of the world and you see there's Big Ben, there's the Eiffel Tower, yeah. There's the Colosseum, there's, you know, the Empire State Building, whatever it might be. We have the balls and we have the pigs. That's all we have. Can you do something about that, please? What Chester's done for McLaren Vale, for the city, or is that an Adelaide City Council thing, do you think?
Well, I think that would be a City Council thing, but I agree with you, and it's maybe something that the community needs to turn its mind to as we progress at 16 years away or 19 years away to our 17 years away to our bicentenary in 200 years in 2036. We had a plan before the last election that was called 2036, and that's maybe something that as a community, maybe 5AA would like to champion. Is what should we do something to celebrate our bicentenary, and should it be an iconic structure? Or
why do people go to St. Louis? Because of the arch. You wouldn't go to St. Louis otherwise. The arch is there.
Yeah, and cities all over the world have something you go and take a photo of. I mean, we have a wonderful place to live here and lots of iconic buildings. But, you know, there's not one that stands out as something you...
I know that'll be right down the bottom of your list, but if you would have been past Kingston. How exciting is it when you see the lobster?
See the lobster,
Larry,
yeah.
The lobster.
Yeah, yeah. And my hometown of Bordertown, you see people stopping to
Are
pick up...
Are you a southeaster?
I'm a southeaster.
Oh, me too, from Mawson.
Stopping on the highway, taking a photo of a white kangaroo because there's some in the nature park. There's a bust of Bob Hawke in the main street.
That's right, there is.
Well, he's probably, you know, politics locally down there are probably a bit more conservative than Bob. There's lots of people stop and take photos of that bust because, you know, he was our Prime Minister. And
yes.
Regardless of the politics, you should be proud of the fact the Prime Minister was born in your town.
Absolutely. All right, we'll put that on the bottom of your list. I know that'll be something you'll be scratching your head about for the next few years. Thank you for coming in. And as I say, it's exciting times. Clearly what we're seeing with the international students, we know the ag business is up and about. We know the tourism through the roof. We'll just see some more businesses coming in, more development, and away we go.
Yep.
Thanks
so much.
It's a pleasure to be here. The Minister for Trade, Tourism and Investment, as we talk about our state, my guest today, David Ridgway.